The theme we have before us is from verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. The theme is He heareth us. That I want to end this whole series with this simple and final conclusion, that because of the gift of prayer, we have a God who hears us. That's the most basic thing we can say about prayer. We have looked at the basics of prayer when we looked at prayer as a gift from God. And we basically, in a sense, opened up that gift, and we found that it's a gift that God gave us that we give back to God. Because when we opened this gift, we found that a basic element of prayer is this is how we praise God. And so He gave us a gift so that we can communicate to Him His praise. And then we also found in this gift also the blessed reality of thanksgiving, that we would give back to God thanksgiving. Since God gave us prayer, we use prayer to give back to God gratitude. And then also confession. That is one of the basic elements of prayer. And what do we do with confession? We acknowledge to God that we have sinned, that we have fallen, that we need His forgiveness. We have there then this most essential petition. See, God gave us a gift called prayer. We open that gift, and one of the parts of prayer is petitions. And what precious petition we saw Sunday, in essence, the very first petition you and I could have is, God, have mercy on us, on me, a sinner. And then along with that petition, every other petition, we find also that part of prayer is that we have petitions for our needs and also for the needs of others. We call those intercessions. And then we dug deeper into the basics of prayer, and we looked at that whole element of back into eternity past, looking at the Father having given us Christ as our intercessor, the Lord Jesus having come and finished His work. He ascended into heaven and gave us the Holy Spirit so that we have an intercessor in heaven, the Lord Jesus, and an intercessor on earth and in our hearts, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And we saw here, 1 John, he's speaking of the Spirit as a witness, and then speaking of that witness in us. Remember that beautiful reality. The Lord Jesus is our intercessor in heaven. The Holy Spirit is our intercessor in us, in our hearts. Yes, on the earth and inside every believer. And then the Father, we looked at the Father and the precious doctrine of intercession. He's the one who gave us Christ and gave us to Christ. And He gave the Spirit to us. All three persons of the Trinity intricately connected in the precious doctrine of prayer and of intercession. So we have seen what the gift of prayer is, and we have seen who the giver of that gift is. And we were last looking at the Father, and now, in a conclusion, in a way, we're going to go back to the very way we began, which I didn't give in this little introduction. The very first sermon, we were looking at the most important ingredient in prayer. And remember, it was 2 years ago. I don't know if you'll remember, but you must know it as a basic doctrine of prayer. We looked at faith, because without faith there is no prayer. We were looking at faith as this basic element. It is the most important element, because without it there is no prayer. Without faith you don't even have access to God in order to pray, and you have no interest in God in order to pray. Many people without faith, they do talk to God, but it is not biblical prayer. They're not with that intercessor in heaven. They don't have that intercessor here in their hearts to teach them to pray and to even create prayer in the hearts. And in their words that go toward heaven, where is the sanctifying element so that those words can enter the courtrooms of heaven? Remember, we saw our prayers cannot dare come before the ears of our holy God if they are not sanctified by the sacrifice of Christ. so that they arrive before the Father completely pure and perfect. Every dross the Lord Jesus takes away. And he adds, of course, his own prayers. So faith is this very essential element. And we go back to it. Because when we look at this passage and we see how it's all based on faith, the very first portion, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And see, now that you, if you are born of God, well, you will pray. And that will be part of your life. And faith is of the essence. And then what we'll also look here today is one more element of prayer, which are the petitions. We did throughout this whole series look at petitions because it's one of the gifts so that we ask the Lord. But we didn't deal with elements about the petition. And I want to end with this look at the petitions, because this is critically what verse 14 says, that we have in him, that if we have this confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we'll talk about a very important element about the petition. So let me start by speaking of the confidence that we have. Just looking at this first phrase, and this is the confidence that we have. This confidence is a certainty. It could be translated in an assurance. It is this sense of freedom that we may have in the presence of God. It is a freeness even in speaking. This is kind of how John is saying. And we have this freedom to go before God, and that anything that we would ask according to his will, he would do. We'll see this confidence, this certainty, is all because of faith. It follows in the trail of what we read back to verse 5, where the very second word there in our text is whosoever believeth. You see, there has to be faith in Christ before there can be this confidence in prayer. And he keeps repeating all throughout this passage. In verse 13, just before our two verses, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John wants us to understand that if you are a believer, you need to live with confidence. But that confidence exists only if there is faith in Christ. And once there is, that confidence will build up and will exist. These solid truths that we have talked about are what give us this confidence. If we just look back at all of the elements where we looked at the Trinity, and we look at what the Lord Jesus has done, and we look at the Holy Spirit and his ministry, even still today, and the Father, remember, we looked at the reality of how it was from eternity past, that the Father promised he would give the Son a people, and promised he would give himself to a people. And then the Son leaves and he promises that he will plead the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And we have all of this before us. And you will not have confidence in prayer that whatever you would ask, God would give. You see, this confidence is completely connected to the faith we would have in God and in all that he has created prayer to be. But we go immediately to our second point, where we focus on the will of God, because that is a key concept here. It is not if we ask anything according to our will, and it is not if we ask anything, and then you would imagine, well, it must be anything that I want. And even when you read in verse 15, and there are other places that we have, even John will speak of asking anything. And sometimes he doesn't add according to God's will. But this becomes a key concept for all of those anythings. So when we look at verse 15 and it says, and if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, well, we have to understand, yes, it's whatsoever we ask that is according to God's will. God's will is a key concept. And that is the confidence that we have. And beloved, this is what we need to understand. The fact that God's will is what defines what he will answer does not limit us in what we would ask. That is the problem in some people's minds. They think, oh, there you go. That's the parentheses. That means I can't really ask for anything. If it has to be according to His will, then I am limited. And the moment you start thinking that way, you're not understanding something so foundational, even about our fallenness. You don't want your will if it's not God's will. That's what will limit you, is if you receive what you want when it is not what God wants. And let me give you an example. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, they desired a fruit that God didn't. God had not given them freedom to eat of that fruit. But they wanted to. And the moment they did, and they were being tempted with the fact that God is a limiting God, and that's how they started believing about God, and they wanted to go beyond those limits that they had thought God had put them in, and they reached to the fruit, and each gave a bite or more. And the moment they did that, beloved, is the moment that limitation began. Because before that, their lives were limitless. The moment they ate and did according to their will, apart from God's, that's where limitation began. So you see, beloved, if you were to think that this verse were to say, in a clean slate, whatever you wish, God will give you, and you think, I don't want that limiting factor, well, then you ask for one thing, it might be your death. It might be that you'll never marry. It might be that you'll never have children. It might be that you'll never get the job of your dreams. Because it is dangerous to have what we want apart from what God wants. There are literally people dying right now because they want some things that will bring death to them. More drugs and more drinks and more immorality. That's what's limiting them. Desiring God's will, desiring their will apart from God's. They read verse 15 and they erase verse 14. Now, I just want to show you how it's completely the opposite. You see, when we get our will that's apart from God's, that's what limits us. It can even end our lives. It's what brought fallenness to the world. That's what brings the sadness that we all see around us and even in us. But everything that is God's will has no limit. Everything that is God's will has an eternal dimension to it. You see, this is how we need to see this. If we ask anything according to God's will, that unlimits everything. That makes everything great and grand. And this leads us to our third point, the petitions we desire. And I could have said the petitions we should desire, which of course are the petitions that are according to God's will. In one way, the essence of our lives should be, Lord, what is thy will? And that is my request. And the example is Jesus in contemplating the cross. Who wants to die nailed to a tree? Even the Son of Man had a difficulty to face what that would mean. And I don't think that what he was doing was being ashamed of the shame or afraid of the hurt in and of itself. Those were part of it all. But the ultimate thing we understand would have been just the unthinkable thought that he who knew the Father from eternity past in perfect communion would begin to see, and he was already seeing something of the wrath of the Father poured upon him to the point where he would start to bleed, and he was already bleeding in the garden. And so he had to say in his humanity, Father, is there another cup? But then he becomes our teacher and our example and even our substitute when he says, but not my will, but thy will be done. And beloved, that becomes our prayer, isn't it? And it's so sad. You hear certain Bible teachers who say, you know, no, that was Jesus and that had to do with him. But when you pray, if you start talking that way, you're really not believing God will give you whatever you want. You're not really trusting God. You really can pray for whatever you want and demand those things from God. See, those kinds of teachers are literally false teachers. They don't understand anything about this whole principle that it is dangerous to ask what we want if it ends up being what God doesn't. That's what they're teaching people to ask. They're being just like Satan was to Adam and Eve. Go ahead and eat of that fruit. Go out of that limit environment God put you in. And what happened? They were encaged. They were imprisoned. They were sent out of the garden. They saw what a desert is and what thorns and thistles are. They noticed that they were naked. The shame came in their hearts. Guilt and contrition. Beloved, everything you and I feel when we sin, and there is literally this pain. Sometimes we feel we can look back and think we're carrying lead, and we think, what is going on? That's what happens when we get our will, when it's not God's will. But the petitions that we should desire, beloved, are eternal, limitless. And I want to go even through the text. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Beloved, faith, that is a petition. And that is the first petition. You can't pray if you don't have faith. Beloved, if you're not saved, this is where you start. And you say, Lord, give me faith. And look to the face of Christ and say, I believe. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. You see his prayer for faith, even while he had some faith, and he's not satisfied with his faith, like none of us should be. And we pray for faith. When will you be limited by praying for faith? And this is the thing. Is it God's will? Of course it is. God's desire to see every eye looking to Jesus and loving him, that is what pleases the Father most. So you see, the art of asking what God wants, it gives you eternal life when you ask for faith. And then it says, if we keep reading, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him, ask for love to the Father who begat the Son, and love for the Son who was begotten of the Father. When have you last asked, Lord, help me to love thee more, and to love the Son, and to love the Spirit? And then another petition, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. Ask for love for the brethren. Think of a fellow believer that you're not loving. And begin to ask God to make you love him or her. Is there anybody? Is there anyone, and keeping to the context, love the children of God. Begin there. Isn't this sad that there is this reality? If we find this in the Bible, and we know that in 1 John, he makes it his case that if you say you love God, but you do not love the brethren, you are lying. Because there were people pretending to be followers of Christ who were not loving their brothers and sisters in Christ. Is this a good place to begin with a petition that again has an eternal value? If you ask, Lord, help me to love my brother so-and-so and my sister so-and-so, you're going to live forever with this brother and sister in heaven. Isn't it good to start with love now? You see what I mean? What's limiting about asking what's according to God's will? And then if you keep reading, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Pray that you may obey. Pray that you would follow God's commandments. Pray that you would obey. Worshiping God alone, that you would obey. Worshiping the right way, that you would obey. Keeping his word, his name in a sacred way, that you would keep his day and not desecrate it, that you would not lie, that you would not steal, that you would not lust, that you would not commit murder. Again, that you would then love others and not talk evil of them and slander them behind their backs. That's one way of murdering people spiritually, and it's a way of hating, and it's, again, you're not loving. Keeping God's commandments is a command that we have. That's what proves that you love God. It proves that you love the brethren. It proves you're a believer. And I do believe that's one of the things, as a believer, you probably ask for most, Lord, please help me obey. Again, there's nothing limiting about it. we will please the Lord. And then verse 4, that's connected to this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now put it that way. Don't just pray, Lord, help me obey thy commandments. Pray, Lord, help me overcome the world and not be overcome by the world. Lord, help me not be molded by the world, but be light in this world. Lord, do not allow me to start becoming evil and dark and unsavory like the world, but that I would be salt upon the earth and light, and like Jesus upon this world, that the world would be overcome by thy word and by thy church. Pray that you would overcome the world. And then we could add so many things. It's not precisely in our text, but the Spirit is here mentioned, and the Spirit is a witness within, and immediately comes to our minds the fruit of the Spirit. And remember that passage, that against these things there is no law. And this is how I love to see this: joy, peace, mercy, grace. Do you pray for those things regularly? Patience, long-suffering, gratitude, contentment. And don't be content with the amount of fruit you have. Pray for more. And this is what I meant. There's no law against these. There's no limit. How much joy do you want? We were reading just recently, and you might have heard about Jonathan Edwards' wife, that they were concerned about her during one of the cycles of revivals. Her joy was so great, she was sick. She was bedridden because she loved Jesus so much. I want that. It's hard to even imagine that that's something possible. But let us pray that we would love the Lord, that our hearts would be so full of joy, that we would almost, in essence, feel like we're in heaven, or we want to be. But we'll wait for the time God wants to send us. But we're just so overcome by this joy. And peace, like a river in our souls. The world in torments round about us, but I'm able to talk to you, and you're just looking at me, comforting me as if nothing has transpired into your heart about what's going on, because you have peace. Is there a limit to these things? You see, beloved, when we ask according to God's will, it is eternal. There's no limit. Only if it's according to ours, apart from God's. And see, this is the preciousness. May all these things be our will, be our desire. And when they are, we can say verse 15 in understanding this, and if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, see, all these things that are according to His will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So don't ever say, I am praying for contentment, but for some reason it is not coming. That cannot be, because God wants to make you content. The problem will never be that He's not giving. The problem may be that we're simply not maybe desiring it, or not really honest. How much are we really praying? And you can think of so many applications there. Oh, may that be what shapes our prayers, not only here, but also our individual prayers, our personal prayers, that we would begin with faith. And that we would increase in faith, that we would see prayer as a gift, that we would bring our adoration, our praise, our gratitude, our petitions, our intercessions, that we would be ever taken by the reality of the whole eternal aspect and reality to our prayer. Remember, just 1 second reminder here about Jesus praying for us. See, when everything goes wrong, if we don't pray right, if we don't pray with the right heart, and if we don't have enough faith, and we never do, Christ's prayers, there's still all of that in regards to the gift of prayer. Jesus is praying. That is so comforting, because how many times we even forget to pray for loved ones, and the surgery went past. But we don't need to worry. Jesus did. He never forgets. So these are the basics of prayer. And again, certainly there's so many other things. But Lord willing, as we look at other elements regarding prayer and other prayers in the Scripture, as we had been doing before this series, we'll see other elements to encourage us to pray, to help us pray, and that we would grow in Christ's likeness as we do so. So let us pray. Our gracious and glorious God, we thank Thee, Lord, for this time that we may focus upon prayer and now bring our petitions, our gratitudes, our praises. Lord, fill our hearts that our desires would be according to Thy will. Lord, when it comes to specific things regarding our health or regarding employment, regarding marriage, help us, Lord, to understand the very principle Jesus used. Lord, whatever is Thy will, and give us guidance, give us wisdom. And we pray that these petitions that we know to be Thy will would be our will as well in our prayers. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.